And Soler crushes it deep to center field. Get the tape measure out. Jorge Soler hits it up onto the steps. That is his second home run tonight. And the Royals hit their fifth home run of the game and lead 8-4.
Ah, man. Everybody's hitting home runs. He hit a home run. I hit a home run. They hit a home run. Ned Yost hit a home run. Jorge Soler's second home run of the game, 43 now in the season, and he's nearing the AL lead for home runs. And the Royals, I don't believe, have ever had a home run champion. I don't think they have.
No.
So that tells you that the ball's juiced when the Royals have somebody in the top of the race for the home run lead. Soler, of course, when he hits home runs, they're usually no doubters. His first one last night wasn't really a no doubter, but his second one, as you just heard, was. And the Royals win 8-4 over the White Sox. And earlier in the night, Baltimore's Jonathan Villar, he hit a home run. What's the big deal about his home run on a horrible team, the Baltimore Orioles?
I set. Hey, that ball is tagged. Oh, baby. Goodbye, home run.
Covers this baseball. Admires it for a second. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got that one. Let's wait for it to land. 443 feet away.
Why is that home run significant? It was the 6,106th home run of the season, topping last season's Major League Baseball record of home runs, 6,105, and we still have 18 days to go. And the Baltimore pitchers are giving up 279 of those home runs. Oddly enough, it was a Baltimore hitter.
Yeah.
You figure it'd be a pitcher that would give up the record-breaking home run. Mike Trout has 45 to lead American League. Soler right behind at 43. Adalberto Mondesi, Ryan O'Hearn, each hitting home runs yesterday. Bubba Starling with a solo shot in the fourth inning. And Mondesi's homer gave the Royals a 4-3 lead that they would not relinquish. And the Royals get the job done. Here's Ned Yost on Soler's gigantic season.
We knew what type of player he was, but we also knew that it would take time, that he needed at-bats, that he needed experience, that he needed to stay healthy. And we just provided that for him. You know, he was really starting to come last year when he ended up breaking his foot. And coming into spring training, we hoped, I think, as a staff, that he would continue what he did last year, and he's done that and more. Not only, you know, has he put up the numbers, but he's learned how to be a tremendous offensive producer at the big league level. He's learned the strike zone intricately. I mean, he'll argue with umpires, and every time you go look, he's right. Umpires are wrong. He's right every time.
Soler's played in every game this year, which leads the American League or Major League Baseball, obviously, if you play in every game for games played. 43 home runs, 28 doubles. So that is 71 extra base hits, no triples, 106 RBIs, and we still have 18 games to go or something like that. He struck out 159 times, which actually leads the majors, but he's also walked 66 times. So his on-base percentage isn't bad, 347. His on-base plus slug is almost 90 or 900, 899. So, he's having a great year, no question about it, and there's still some baseball left for the Royals to play. The next game for the Royals will be this afternoon at 1:10 in Chicago against the White Sox. Royals now 54-92, so the Royals have 16 games remaining. Jorge Lopez on the hill. His last outing, he was really good. And you just wonder if he's just a September starting pitcher, because the Royals would like him to earn a spot in the rotation going into next year. Lucas Giolito has had a great year. Early in the year, they're thinking Cy Young for him. 14-8 with ERA 3.27. He's been pretty good against the Royals this year. But the story is Soler. Two homers, four hits last night, and four RBIs as the Royals do get the win. And now look to win game three and take the series in Chicago. Then the Royals will end up with the rest of their season. They'll see Gerrit Cole, a Cy Young candidate for the Astros, coming up on Friday, tomorrow night. But that's in Kansas City, if that matters. Then the Royals, how about this matchup on Saturday, Dusty? Mike Montgomery, former Royal, now a Royal again, versus former Royal Zach Greinke on Saturday. Maybe I should ditch the Kansas State Fair plans and go see that one. Interesting there. Greinke back at KC. And then on Sunday afternoon, Astros and the Royals, Wade Miley, great name, versus Jacob Junis. And then the Royals will go to Oakland for three games. Oakland fighting for a playoff spot. We know the Astros are one of the best teams in baseball. Then they'll be at the Twins, who are trying to hold on and win the division, for four. Then they'll host the Braves, who lead their division, for two. Then they host the Twins for three. The point being, the last 15 games the Royals play, after they play today, their next 15 games will be against teams leading their division or in the wild card race. All those teams have a lot to play for. The Royals have nothing to play for other than statistics and trying to somehow avoid 100 losses, which if they would go 9-7 in their last 16 games and 15 against really good teams, which seems far-fetched, but who knows, they would avoid 100 losses.
Yeah, you'd better hope you win today.
Yeah, you better win today. To avoid 100 losses, you almost
have
to win today.
9-6 in the last 15.
Yeah.
You'd rather be 8-7. Just make it as easy as you can in those last 15. Because like you said, those, I mean, yeah, the Royals could play spoiler for some of those teams, but those teams are going to be focused and ready to go.
Yeah, they're not going to probably take the Royals too lightly. And if they do, that could determine whether or not they make the playoffs or not. Yeah. Here's the playoff race right now. The Yankees have an 8.5 game lead over Tampa Bay. They're going to win that division. The Central, the Twins have a 4-game lead over Cleveland with 15 games to go for the Indians, and the Twins have 17 games to play. The Royals are going to finish in fourth place in the Central, I can assure you of that, ahead of the horrible Tigers, who are 43-100. AL West, the Astros have an 8.5 game lead over Oakland, so they're going to win that division. The National League, Atlanta is going to win their division, up a 9.5 games over Washington. St. Louis, a 4-game lead over the Cubs, so they've created some breathing room. Milwaukee, 4 games back as well as they fight for the wild card. And Milwaukee lost Christian Yelich to a fractured kneecap. What a bummer. He's having an MVP year again after being MVP last season. Dodgers just won their 7th consecutive NL West title. Yawn. Boring.
Yeah.
7 straight division titles. I'd love to see that if I was a Royals fan, or anybody for that matter, any team. Arizona, 18.5 back, so no hope for them to win the division. The wild card race really isn't much of a race. Other than there's 3 teams vying for 2 spots in the American League. It's Cleveland, 1/2 game behind Oakland, and then they're a game behind Tampa. So right now Tampa has a 1/2 game lead over Oakland for the final wildcard spot, and neither one of them is going to win the division. So basically Oakland and Tampa are fighting for who's going to get home field for the 1-game playoff and keep ahead of Cleveland, who's a 1/2 game back. And I think people think Cleveland is a dangerous team come playoff time, so we shall see. And in Boston, I think they're cooked. They're 10 games back with 16 to play. I think they're cooked. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to defend their championship, which you always usually see the World Series hangover. In the National League, the Nationals have a 3.5 game lead over the Cubs and Milwaukee for the top wild card spot. So Washington right now would host that 1-game playoff. And the Cubs and Milwaukee tied. So in this situation, it looks like the Nationals are in good shape to make the playoffs. That means either the Cubs or the Brewers will not make the playoffs. But don't forget these other teams. The Mets, the Phillies are 2 games out of the wild card, and the Diamondbacks are 2.5 out. So that's 5 teams vying for 1 spot. So National League is a little bit more interesting when it comes to trying to get into the playoffs. All right, local sports information. Dusty, latest volleyball rankings and football rankings and volleyball and other sports going on yesterday, so fill us in.
Yes, if you missed the scores from Tuesday's volleyball, check out ncastsports.com. Volleyball today, the Beloit Lady Trojans are at TMP Marion at 5 o'clock here this afternoon and this evening, so that's when varsity will start there in Hayes. So the Lady Trojans checking in this week again at number 3 in the Kansas Volleyball Association rankings, and if you want the full rankings, again, those are also at ncastsports.com. Royal Valley's number 1 in Class 3A this week, Silver Lake number 2, and then Phillipsburg from the MCL is number 10. Smith Center's up to number 2 in the Class 2A rankings, behind number 1, Waubunsee. Trigo from the MCL is number 9, and then in the 1A rankings, Spearville is number 1, and Thunder Ridge has moved up to number 7, and St. John's Tipton is up to number 8 in the Class 1A volleyball rankings. Also, as we mentioned with the volleyball rankings, football rankings are also posted at ncksports.com. No real big surprise, Smith Center checks in at number 1 in Class 1A in pretty much all the rankings, and there's a lot of other area teams that are receiving votes in those rankings. Again, those are all posted at ncksports.com as well. Remind everybody as well for football tonight, our high school locker room chats for football coming up at around 5:10 or a little bit after that here this evening, as we'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas here this evening. So let's look at what's coming up here tonight on our station. One other thing we want to go over is the cross-country schedule for today for area teams. And boy, it's at Heston at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Lakeside, Lincoln, Osborne, Sylvan Lucas, and Smith Center are all competing at the Stockton Invitational at 4 o'clock. St. John's, Pike Valley, Southern Cloud are all at Washington County this afternoon at 4 o'clock as well. So that'll catch you up to date on what's going on here in local sports in the Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 area.
Interesting look at the volleyball rankings, because Royal Valley, I was talking to Jason Goddard yesterday, and I was thinking it was Silver Lake that had played 13 matches, but I had looked at it quickly. Royal Valley's 13-0. They're the defending Class 3A basketball state champions. They won that last year. Thought they'd be at state volleyball. They were in a really tough substate. In fact, I think it was Silver Lake they lost to in substate volleyball. Silver Lake's number 2 at 4-1. But the reason I point this out is Royal Valley has 13 matches under their belt. Beloit, before they played yesterday, only had two.
Yeah.
Only two. Before they played on Tuesday, I should say. So they only had two. And then Heston's played 10. Frontenac's only played two. Kind of weird. And then yeah. Waubunsie's number 1 team in 2A at 6-1. Smith Center is number 2 at 3-0. And I bring this up because Centralia is ranked 2nd in 1A, and they're 5-2. Well, why would they be ranked 2nd? Because their losses are both to Waubunsie, who's number 1 in 2A.
Yeah.
So even when Centralia loses, they lose to somebody really, 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 really good. It's amazing how that works. But you got Thunder Ridge at 7 undefeated, St. John's Tipton at 8. So you got some local representation in 1A, 2A, and 3A for our area in volleyball.
Yes.
Hopefully we get some teams of state volleyball and have play-by-play coverage of state. That'd be pretty awesome, like we've had in the past. That'd be fantastic. In regards to the football rankings, Dusty mentioned that Smith Center is ranked number 1 in 1A. And any other notables here, Phillipsburg is number 1 in 2A. And in 8-man 1, Canton Galva is number 1. In 8-man 2, Hanover 1, Axtell 2, and they're in the same district. Osborne is ranked 3rd. Thunder Ridge and Rock Hills both receiving votes. And we'll have Rock Hills hosting Lakeside tomorrow night, our game of the week on Z96.3 Lake with pregame coverage at 6:30. Coverage begins with the Football Express, brought to you by Cunningham Telephone Cable at 5:40. Pregame at 6:30. Dusty will have the call from Mankato. And at 7 o'clock will be the kickoff. And on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, it will be Hoxie at Osborne. John Bowden with the call, making his Katy Country 94 debut, filling in for us for a few games this year. And that will be over in Osborne. Hoxie playing their first game of the year, as they won by forfeit last week. So it'll be interesting to see what Hoxie has to do against Osborne. Osborne should be tested in that one. And we'll have a live video stream, ncksports.com, the Battle of the Trojans, Southeast Saline at Beloit. Last year it was a one-point game, came down a two-point conversion late for Beloit, and they couldn't convert. And Beloit remembers that, trust me. So Southeast Saline at Beloit, and for the first time in 3 years, it looks like I have good weather. 2 years ago, monsoon, the track was underwater. We played on a Saturday afternoon to make up for it. And it was beautiful the next day, and everything had drained out perfectly. And then last year, it was rain during the day. The field was not in the greatest shape. And since then, Southeast has completely redone their field, by the way, put in a new field and a new track as well, which is going to be nice. And I talked to a radio guy the other day. He goes, now they just got to get to the press box. Yeah, I said, that's probably not as high on the priority list, probably. But anyway, Southeast won that game 14-13. It was misting during the game. And Beloit had an opportunity. Couldn't quite finish at the end trying to rally. So Beloit Southeast looks like for the first time in 3 years, they'll have finally some good weather coming up tomorrow night. Live video stream at ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Smith Center ranked 1 in 1A, as I mentioned. Football Plainville is number 2. Another notable one to throw out there. Sabetha is number 1 in 3A. Back-to-back champions, two-time defending champs. Andale is 2. Marysville is 3. Scott City, 4. They're in Beloit's district. And Topeka Hayden is at 5, according to KansasPrepFootball.com. Also, K-Prep's rankings are there. It's just a little bit easier for me to pull up Kansas Prep Football because it's all listed in a roll. I got to hit multiple tabs to pull up each class on K-Prep. So either one of the rankings, wherever you want to follow, they're both posted at ncksports.com. Anything else in regards to local sports?
I think we covered it.
All right. And then, of course, our local high school scoreboard show tomorrow night at 10:05, brought to you by State Farm Insurance. Kevin Hewitt in Beloit and Marty Walters in Osborne are your State Farm agents here in North Central Kansas. Okay, the Chiefs will be in action Sunday at 2 o'clock. Talk more Chiefs football tomorrow. The Chiefs will be at the Raiders. Raiders off to a winning start without Antonio Brown. They beat the Broncos Monday Night Football, so a short week, but the Raiders are at home. Could very well, or I think it will be, the last time the Chiefs will play in Oakland. Andy Reid was asked about that yesterday. What about the last time playing Oakland? What do you think about that? And he goes, well, the bathrooms flooded last year, so I'm going to say I'm not going to miss that too much, which I thought was a pretty funny quote. So the Chiefs, I think, are looking forward to playing the final game in Oakland, and I think a lot of players are looking forward to playing in Las Vegas, which that could be good or bad for teams.
Yeah.
Many reasons why. I won't go into it. If you've been to Vegas, you know what I'm talking about.
I think Antonio Brown's not there.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown in Vegas.
Yeah, why didn't Brown stick around?
That was the idea.
Maybe that was like, he didn't want to play in Oakland, but he's going to play 1 year with the Patriots and then go sign with the Raiders and play in Vegas. Yeah, I don't think the Raiders are going to have anything to do with him again. So, by the way, Antonio Brown might be pulling an exempt list by the National Football League, so he might not play for the Patriots for a while. It just depends. The NFL hasn't said anything about it, but there's a possibility they could put him on the exempt list where he would not be eligible to play until things are figured out on this investigation into the allegations and accusations of his former trainer that that he raped her. That's an accusation, allegation. Nothing's been proven. It's a civil lawsuit, not a criminal lawsuit right now. It's in civil court, or will perhaps go to civil court. So we'll keep you updated on that. So the Chiefs at Oakland, pregame at 2 o'clock, kickoff about 3:20 or whatever it may be, coming up to Sunday on the home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas, C96.3, The Lake. T. Boone Pickens passed away. T. Boone Pickens, man, you talk about a guy that had a lot of money but gave away a lot of money, too, and donated and contributed. He died at the age of 91. He was a Oklahoma State booster, billionaire, oil tycoon, and he donated between $500 million and $1 billion to Oklahoma State and the Cowboys Athletic Program. That stadium, which is aptly named after him, if you just look around and see everything Oklahoma State has done since he donated, he basically has single-handedly done that with his money.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty amazing, and that's why Oklahoma State has had a few runs where they've been in the playoff conversation a couple times. They've beaten Oklahoma not very often, very rarely, but many times Oklahoma State, Oklahoma has been a huge, huge game late in the year. He put Oklahoma State on the map, without question, by his donations. He passed away at the age of 91 today, or yesterday, and he will be missed certainly by those at Oklahoma State, for sure. Well, you know, the baseball season's almost over, but why not just end it a little bit prematurely? Have you heard about this story? Pirates pitcher Kyle Crick is done for the season. What'd he do? Blow out his arm? Manager overused him? Not so. Oh, he got into a. He got into a brawl. There was a fight on the field, an altercation, right? And he threw a punch and broke his hand. Close. Kyle Crick's season for the Pittsburgh Pirates is over, thanks to an argument that turned physical with a teammate. After an altercation in a clubhouse with fellow Pirates player Felipe Vasquez on Monday, Pirates hurler Kyle Crick underwent season-ending surgery to repair tendons in the index finger of his pitching hand. Okay. The two fought in the visiting clubhouse at Oracle Park before facing the Giants, who the Pirates went on to win 6-4. Both players were fined an undisclosed amount for their actions after the fight. A statement released by the team says that the conduct violated the players' contracts, which resulted in the fines. And the team executive vice president, general manager Neil Huntington, said in a statement, "This behavior exhibited by these players last night is unacceptable, inconsistent with the standards expected of a major league player, and will not be tolerated by the organization." Crick commented on the situation, saying there was a lot of bickering back and forth, punches were thrown, claiming that Vasquez is the one that swung first. You kind of have at some point stand up for yourself and have to defend yourself and start throwing back. It's one of those deals where it's unfortunate. It's two losers in this deal. Nobody can win fighting a teammate. It's just an unfortunate deal. Crick added that he said that though it is terrible to be injured off the field during the season, this is something that has been building, and now the two can move past their disagreements. He says, "In a way, I think a scuffle like that can hasten the process of moving forward because we kind of got it out of the way. We've been bickering for a little bit, and I think this is something that we can easily get past with mutual respect for one another. The 26-year-old is expected to be fully recovered by spring training, but for now, baseball will have to take a back seat." Listen, just another reason why you should learn how to punch with both hands. That way, you don't break your throwing hand. But it's your dominant hand, so, you know, if you're right-handed, you're going to throw a punch, yeah, probably right-handed.
Natural. Human nature. Sure. You just use what's strongest.
Sure. Sure. Exactly.
For me, it would be neither one, so I don't...
But I was taught that. I was told that a long time ago by a friend of mine, I think in high school. He said, if you're ever going to get in a fight, you need to learn. If you think you're going to get in fights, you can learn how to fight both left and right-handed. And he said, then you can throw some effective punches to defend yourself, of course. But then it won't break your throwing hand or your regular hand, your riding hand, the thing you do everything with. Or you go ahead and break your right hand punching somebody, which is not good, not condoned. But if you're defending yourself, then, hey, you know what? Knock them out.
Yeah.
And then... then you learn how to use your left hand.
While you're waiting on this to heal, you strengthen
the other.
You learn
your left hand. Yes. Yes, you strengthen your left hand and you learn more, and you're able to do more things with your left hand. Yes, absolutely. And for all you people out there, yeah, you know who you are. I know what you're thinking. 9:29 is our time, 74 degrees on a Thursday. The voice of the Jayhawks is on the way here in just a moment. Team USA apparently didn't care too much today. They lost to, lose to Serbia? Yeah, they lost to Serbia today, 94-89. They were down 32-7 after the first quarter. That's Team USA. Team USA clinches the worst finish ever with NBA players. Didn't medal at all and got smoked today. And the Chargers have been hit by injuries again. They're tied in, out 4 to 6 weeks, Hunter Henry. Wide receiver is out with an injury. So the Chargers seem to be snake bitten by the injury bug almost every single season, which for Chiefs fans, you're like, yay, awesome. And what a crazy story this is. Did you see about the horse Justify? If you think people are cheating, you think that there's steroids and enhancing performance-enhancing drugs being taken by athletes, well, now apparently horses are officially athletes. Why? According to a report from the New York Times on Wednesday, the thoroughbred Justify, who went on to win the Triple Crown in 2018, failed a drug test before winning the Kentucky Derby, the first leg of his Triple Crown win. The horse allegedly tested positive for scopolamine, which is considered a performance-enhancing drug in thoroughbred racing less than a month prior to the race. But here's the kicker. The California Horse Racing Board took 3 weeks to confirm the positive test, alerted the trainer, Bob Baffert, just 9 days for the running of the Kentucky Derby. Without the results being publicly disclosed, Baffert still kept justifying the field of competitors. And then the board never ultimately filed a public complaint, and eventually the case was buried. Of course, last October, Justify wrapped up the Triple Crown win. The board lightened the punishment for horses caught for using that supplement or drug. And it was supposedly, it was all, you know, it just wasn't contaminated food. It's no big deal. Then the positive drug test was thrown out altogether. But according to other people with the story closer, they say it's very unlikely. And in fact, that they've studied the test and that it's more than likely something that was done intentionally. What it helps do, and if you're wondering, well, how does it help a horse? It opens up the nasal canal or the nostrils and helps a horse breathe better, which would be an advantage when a horse is running the mile or three-quarter mile, mile and a half, whatever it might be. So you've heard cheaters never win. They live in sin. Apparently, that's not true.
Horse racing doesn't care, apparently.
No, apparently horse racing doesn't care.
Like, I haven't heard anything about any kind of, like, stripping him of the Triple Crown or anything. He tested positive. We'll see you next time.
We've changed the rules to where now it's just a suspension and fine, but you want the Triple Crown. What about the horse that finished second to Kentucky Derby? I'm sure they're not very happy about that.
That horse has feelings, too.
Yes, sir. Who doesn't? See, horses are athletes.